Welcome to this edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today I have another one of my former students on. Jake James has joined me at the Speakeasy Studio for a little bit of vodka and Red Bulls. So welcome, Jake.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a little while since I remember you being about this tall, and now you're about the same height as me, if not taller.
So, didn't think that would happen.
No, I know. I've known you for, what has it been, about 9 to 10 years now. I knew you when you were about 12.
Yeah, I think it was about when you started coaching basketball.
Yep.
And then you became the eighth grade teacher. Yeah.
And you were in my second graduating class. So that was, what is that, like 2016, was it?
Shoot, I don't know.
Somewhere back then. But you've requested vodka Red Bull. Now, I got a vodka that is from, it's called Tonka Vodka. I stuck her in the freezer so you can kind of tell. But it's actually made by Grey Duck Vodka. So last night, actually, I had an interview. And I had Grey Duck on because I was interviewing a guy that kind of highlights and does a podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. So what I did is I said, well, what better way than to have Chad Greenway's vodka. So I did that. So we're going to open up some vodka Red Bulls here. I got us some ice. I got us some stir sticks for us. And you can have until it's gone.
Well, that sounds good
but
to me.
Drive safe.
There's always.
Yeah, I think you know a little bit about driving, huh?
Maybe a little bit.
Dude, so you're the second one of my students to be on. The other one, for those who are listening, was actually, you know what? You take your own. You do however much. I don't even know if you want ice, but I know I want ice.
Oh, yeah. You got to have it on the rocks. That's where you need it.
On the rocks. But, yeah, for those who are listening, the band Dying Breed, they were on, a couple months ago maybe. There you go.
Thank you.
Dalton was the other one of my former students. He was just, a grade older than you?
Yeah.
Yep. He was a grade older. So he graduated my first year of teaching, and then you were my second class. You and Xander Russert. Just two guys.
Yeah.
Two-man crew, man. That was actually a pretty fun class, though. We had a great class trip, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah.
At least I had a good class trip. Oh, I thought that was so much fun with you two.
That's probably one of the better trips I've been on.
Yeah, but remember we hit up a baseball game and got some foul balls.
Went to, Taco Bell after?
Yeah. And then, don't you remember when we, I Ubered us back because,
shoot.
Remember I Ubered us back because the transit that we had to use was already done for the night. So I had to Uber us back and some guy picked us up and I was like, this guy probably thinks, as it was like a Thursday, I think it was, he's probably like, what is this? Because there's two young boys.
Thank you.
Two young boys with a grown adult man. What is going on? And it was like 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
He's probably like, what is going on with these two? First of all, cheers.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
You can't go wrong with a vodka Red Bull. I didn't know if I was supposed to get sugar-free for you, if you're a health nut or not. So.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Good, I got the regular sugar. We're going to be all sugared up. So, yeah, I remember we were leaving. We went to Taco Bell. People are just blasted drunk there.
Oh, yeah.
Me and two kids that are 14-ish years old going there because we hadn't had any food. And then we get back, and we took the L back, but there was no there's no bus to go back to the Concordia place?
Yeah.
So I had to Uber us back because it was downpouring on us, and it's about a mile walk. I'm like, we're not going to walk back in the rain mile from now, and then we'll just be sopping wet. So some guy came and got us. But remember, I don't know if you remember, but I do. He said he was the dean of a school. So I'm like, oh, that's better because he kind of understands maybe what's happening here. But, yeah, that was a hilarious trip. That was fun.
No, yeah, I still think about that one. Yeah. I mean, it's not every day you can go on a class trip with two students and one teacher, and it was a great time.
Yeah, the best part is it was just two boys, so we didn't need a female chaperone, and we got so many things done that trip. We got all the museums we had to get out of the way, mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you guys got a few extra bucks on you, we can go to the game. And we got there, and you're like, yeah, we're a little short ago. Don't worry, I can pay for you two guys just a few extra bucks. And we had really decent seats to the Chicago Cubs game.
Oh yeah, they were great.
I think they were playing the Reds that day, if I remember right.
I think so, because because Xander got a ball from one of the right fielder.
Yeah.
And I think he got made fun of by somebody because it was from the Reds player. Yeah.
Yeah, and I caught a foul ball in yep. practice barehanded. That was awesome.
No, yeah, that was great. That was, I mean, we got all that done, and then, of course, we still had time for a couple naps here and there. And
That's right, yes, a couple naps. So remember, we weren't supposed to have cell phones, but on that trip, they allowed you, one of you got to have cell phones. I don't know if it was you or Xander, but it didn't matter. But we were playing Trivia Crack against yep. each other on the L train as we had to go into town, because what better way than to study on the way into town for a half hour? Because we took about 30 minutes to get there.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay, what's the highlight from that trip? Do you remember that much? I mean, it's been like nine years.
I know the one part was we were sitting in the common area of our little four room there.
I know right where this is going, yes.
And started hearing some noises. What the heck is that? And, well, there were some girls above us throwing stuff out the window.
That's right.
And I remember that when we stuck our heads out the window, almost got hit by a picture frame. And then we found, did they play for their softball team or something like that?
It was a softball team that was there.
Yeah.
You almost got hit with a picture frame.
It was a picture frame. They were throwing books. I mean, I remember we looked out there the morning after, and it was just littered with a whole bunch of stuff.
Right, it was. I remember I got on my cell phone because they said that they were there for a college tournament. So I looked up mm-hmm. Concordia Chicago softball tournament. I looked up the team that they were playing, and I started yelling out players' names from the roster, and they stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
I go, is that so-and-so? I don't remember their name. Oh, my gosh. That was right. That was your trip.
Yeah.
That was a fun time. Yeah. That's right. There's no screens on the window, and they're just chucking yep. stuff. Look like a landfill down below us the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. Oh,
yeah.
Those are some memories you'll remember.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Those are ones I'm going to probably tell a lot of people even more than I do now.
You still tell a story, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And that was my second year of teaching, so I didn't know what was going on. I'm like,
shouldn't be happening.
This shouldn't be happening, but I can't control the softball team. So what'd you do then? You went to Hope afterwards?
Yep.
All 4 years?
Yep.
Graduated there. And then what'd you do after that? Because after that, I haven't seen you since. Well, I mean, I see you here and there.
Yeah.
Very random. But actually, you know, I probably haven't seen you since senior year. And then I just saw you when Dalton and Hunter were playing at Battle of the Bands.
Yep.
And I'm like, wait, you're way taller than you used to be. And now you get a mullet, full grown mullet, man.
Well, it was longer when you saw me in the summer. I had to cut it for, you know, winter months. And I'll get to that in a little bit because there's some to it.
And you grow out a mustache.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
If you want to call it that, because I still get crap about that.
What are you getting crap about?
Well, Jay, you got to cut that line on your lip there.
Got to cut that line on your lip? Does anybody tell you got a pencil thin mustache or what?
About, yeah.
God. Oh man. Okay, so then what'd you do after high school? I don't. That's where I have a gap. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I was in between, you know, what I wanted to do after high school, because when I was a sophomore, I worked with my dad who owned H&M at the time, doing plumbing and heating, and I was kind of wanting to do that or welding, and I was kind of thinking, well, I want to make my race car go faster, and I want to make sure I can fix it when it wrecks. So I decided to go welding. So I went to the Southeast Tech for a year, and my teacher was Casey Mann. And after a year in the spring, I graduated. And prior to graduation, I had an internship that we do for class at Winona Welding. That's what I ended up going. And so I did an internship there. They offered me a job once I graduated, and I worked there for a couple months, and that's about it.
Now what are you up to?
I had to explain it to like this to everybody because no one really knows what's going on over there, but you probably know BCS.
BCS, I've heard of it.
Or
yeah.
TRW.
Yep, okay, TRW.
Over by the airport. It was BCS, all three of the buildings over there, which was the switch plant, the machine building, and the customer center. Now, of course, BCS is closing, and but before they were closing and all that was kind of in the works of happening, Key Electric bought our building, so now our building is referred to as Key Automation.
Okay.
So I'm a welder over there.
Okay. So you're a welder.
I'm a welder.
Perfect.
Long story short.
Long story short. That's awesome. Now, how did you decide to do that because of racing, basically?
Yeah.
Which we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the main thing. Like, hey, it would be handy if I could do this trade, and then you made a career out of it as well. Because I know that, you know, the one thing that I tell students nowadays, now that I'm 10 years into this, I go, you guys can go to the tech college, and you can go make the same amount, if not better money, than people that go to a 4-year, 5-year, however you want to say it, because of the fact that a lot of people now, all they do is they want to go that 4-year and maybe do something on the computer or whatever it might be, whereas the trades, there's a lack of it right now. So you can actually go out and make, if not the same or more than people that are doing 4-year colleges. And I know what I've said this before. I know what I pay a plumber to come do work. I know what I pay an electrician to come do work for me. I can only imagine a welder's doing about the same thing, because there's only a certain amount of people that can do that. And so it's awesome that you're doing that. And now, you said that your dad used to own H&M or was co-owner?
Yeah, he owned it.
What's he up to these days?
Well, he sold H&M, oh boy, a couple years ago. I'm not quite sure how many. And he sold it to the guy he co-owned H&M with, Terry Siebenauer, to Terry's son, Jake, who also worked with my dad. Jake owned it for a couple years at least. Since then, H&M has closed. But now he give credit to my dad, because he ended up going through 2 knee surgeries in the past year.
Okay.
All on the same knee. And oh boy, it was a year in the beginning of October, and he's getting back to work now at, I believe it's Advantages or Advance. Don't quote me on the name, over in La Crosse, still doing plumbing.
Okay.
So yeah, he's been pretty kick-ass about getting it done.
Nice. Yeah, my dad had 2 knee surgeries too. Not in the same year, but we're not within a year, about 3 or 4 years of peace. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know. It kind of puts you in your butt, man.
Yeah. I know at first it's probably nice for like the first couple of days, and I, knowing my dad, he's like, I got to move.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
And it was funny because he knows he wasn't supposed to. I hope my mom doesn't watch this. Well, I know she's going to. But it'd be times. Oh, is that mom coming in the driveway? I'm gonna sit back down in my chair.
All right. So now she knows.
Now she knows
the gig is up.
Yeah. Oh well.
But the knees are healed.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, he's doing good.
All right. Good. That's awesome. That's good to hear. So then, now you're big into racing, and we're talking dirt track racing, and you were. This boggled my mind, to be honest with you. You were in 7th grade, and you were like, "Yeah, I race." I'm like, mean you race, because I don't know much about it. I mean, my dad did a little bit back in 95, 96 area, and then my uncle did a lot of it, but I'm like, well, they were grown adults, and you're a 7th grade kid, like 12 years old.
Something like that.
12 and 13 years old, and I'm like, what do you mean you race? You're like, yeah, I race over at Mississippi Thunder. I'm like, what do you mean? What do you race? And you're telling me, I'm like, oh, like against adults too. And that was kind of nuts in my mind. What was your first race car, like what was the speed you were going? Because you didn't have a license, obviously.
No.
You were 4 years away from your license, to be honest.
Yeah, and that's, yeah. it was called a slingshot, someone known as a mini mod. Boy, I didn't know much was going on back then besides to turn left when racing the car.
That's all you need to know. Don't crash, turn left.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Try to go fast.
But
no, it was kind of a class meant for kids. There was 2 kind of classes to it. There was a B for younger or less experienced, or an A kind of version for it. But it was mainly for kids on a smaller track, smaller cars. I was supposed to kind of get them ready to move up into bigger cars.
Sure.
And that's really, I raced that for, I think, 5 years.
5 years?
Oh, boy. So
when
maybe,
did it start?
Maybe.
When did it start?
It was 3 years.
Huh? When did you start?
I think, oh, you know what? I was 11.
Okay.
I was 11.
So what's, first of all, how fast were you going? What are the size of the engines?
Maybe 50 or 60, maybe 50.
Okay.
Engines. All I knew what it was back then was basically a lawnmower engine.
A lawnmower engine. Yeah. Perfect.
That's all and I can tell you about that.
You're going 50 or 60 miles an hour.
Maybe.
As an 11 year old.
As an 11 year old.
On dirt.
On dirt.
Huh. So, do you know the answer? I don't know if you know the answer to this, but how do they allow kids that are 5 years away from getting their license to actually race, since they haven't even driven a car that goes possibly 20 to 60 miles an hour?
Well, you're asking for an 11-year-old. You know, there's actually a kid that did it, and he was like six.
Six?
And let's just say he did better than I did ever did.
Oh. Who was it?
Mason Stockhausen. And of course, I don't know how many years ago it was since he started, but I mean, I'm going to guess it involves a lot of waivers and, you know, insurance
legal
stuff.
Forms.
Stuff
yeah.
Like that, maybe.
Sign your life away here. If I die, yeah. Don't sue me.
Well, there is a thing that you, for the sanction, I mean, it's USRA, but to race, you know, there's some stuff saying like, hey, this is deadly, could be deadly if things
Absolutely.
Go really bad. So you got to sign this in case that does happen. And it's kind of something to think about. It's kind of makes you think if I mess up.
Well, then, so did dad get you into this? And you're like, okay, because you're 11. I mean, you don't know. It's like send a kid to T-ball or baseball practice. They're like, oh, we'll just try it out and see how it goes. Is that mm-hmm. what happened? Or because I feel like you're not just giving a kid a baseball glove and a baseball bat and say, here you go, that costs maybe 100, 200 bucks. You're getting a car.
Yeah.
I mean, that's spendy, I know. And you wreck it one time, it's
yeah.
a lot of it. So how'd you get into it?
Years ago when MTS first opened under Bob Tim.
Yep. What year was that, do you remember?
Ooh, I have no idea.
Because I remember when I was little, like when I was your, you know, back in the grade school, it was Trioval.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dirt pit.
Yeah.
I mean, my buddy, Officer Hurley, and I, we would go there, and you know him, right? Because
mm-hmm.
he came to school. We would go there, and boy, we would just goof around all day, but we would come home just dirty. It was nasty. The bathrooms are gross. And now it's very nice. Like, there's box seating up there and stuff. It's pretty professional looking.
It's actually becoming one of the, you know, gems of dirt tracks in America.
Mm-hmm.
It is known as, it's, what they've done over there is pretty impressive.
That's awesome.
And it's nice to have that 30 minutes from my house.
Yeah. Right, exactly. It's only 30 minutes away. So then, okay, you got into it. Who got you into it, I guess? I'm sorry, I keep going off track.
No. let's see. My dad, when they opened it up, I'm not quite sure what year it all was, but they had a 600 mod class, 600 modifieds, and it was basically, it was almost as big. You think of a slug bug. Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of as big as a slug bug. They're small little deals, super light and really dangerous.
Okay.
My dad got one of those. They were cheap to get into, but still fast. And actually, they were pretty close to being the fastest at the track at the time. And he got that. He rented a car. He loved it. He got himself his own car. I'm like, all right, Dad, when do I get mine?
And so you pushed him.
Yes, I did.
Nice.
Because I was like, this is pretty cool. And so when they used to do car shows at the beginning of every race season and at Sugarloaf Ford, and he opened up the trailer, and there was my car he surprised me with, a little mini go-kart, slingshot, mini-mod thing, and that's kind of where it all started.
Well, what do you remember the feeling you had when you saw it?
At first, I didn't know what I was looking at. I was like, why does the car look so weird? And I was like, once I realized that, I'm like, holy crap, this is happening.
This is happening.
And that's not even the first time he decided to surprise me with a car, because years later, once I think they cap it, the limit for these slingshots at like 14, I think it was.
Oh, so you're a certain age.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
At 14, and once I turned 14, he surprised me with another car. And that was kind of my introduction to the big track. It's
yeah.
like a small track.
Yep. And you're still only like 14 or 15 doing this.
Yeah.
With adults, right?
Mm-hmm. Now I'm with people that, you know, are 70 years old. They've been doing it for years.
Dude, did that blow your mind at all?
Yeah, at first it was kind of crazy, especially when I was actually able to compete.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, this doesn't feel right.
Intimidating,
and
I bet.
Oh, absolutely. And especially going from that, and then, you know, eventually getting my license, it was definitely different from the slingshot.
Sure. Okay, so now you have your car, your dad and you are in it together. I've noticed, just looking at photos, you guys have the same color schemes.
Well, that was let's see, there was a time, and that That was in the hobby stock class.
Okay.
Okay. And we both had a car for a couple years, both in hobby stocks. And it, you know, we raced against each other, and we had the same scheme, and no, that was fun. It was fun. The only downside to it was if I wasn't in a wreck on the track, I knew my dad was.
Oh,
if my dad was in a wreck, he knew I was. And there was, I mean, there'd be times, I think our worst time of racing ever was he rolled his car in the heat race, and he has a talent for that, because I'm pretty sure when he raced those 600 mods, he holds records at the track for rolling his car the highest and the longest.
Is that a record you want?
I mean, I'd be proud of it.
Really? Okay.
I mean, and it's funny because when he might see someone he knows from when he raced with, and that's the thing they remember him for, which I think is honestly pretty funny and awesome. But back to when us racing hobby stocks, and that he rolled his car in the heat race. I did fine. I was having engine problems for a while, but I go out for my feature. I blow my motor up. So in one night, he rolled his car. We somehow got a fix. I blew my motor up, and he went from last to, I think, past like 14 cars after rolling it. And that's another thing people still talk about. Honestly, you know, my dad's been doing it less than I have, because he says retired. And
he's not racing no more.
No.
Okay.
And he has better stories to tell than I do.
No kidding. Have you guys ever gotten a wreck together?
I mean, maybe nothing I really remember, but I would probably say there's a time that we could probably wave at each other because we both spun out in the same wreck or something.
Okay. But you never like have been in a collision together. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There were times though, because there was one time I'm pretty sure someone's tire decided to come off the car.
No kidding.
And I thought that if I just hit it, it'll bounce off and do its own thing. No, I hit it. And I Dukes of Hazzard it over the tire, landed, and my dad was behind me trying to avoid the car that the tire came off of. I thought I was fine because I just jumped the tire, and he comes out of nowhere, just full gas, right straight in front of me, into the wall. And I was like, yeah, that would have been terrible if he hit me, and there goes both cars in one swipe.
Oh, so what was like racing with your dad?
Oh, that was
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I got the, you know, I played volleyball and softball with my dad quite a bit. And I'm like, you know, a lot of people don't get to say that they get to do those things with their dads all the time.
No.
Because of the fact that maybe you don't have the same interest, or maybe they just, you know, got old and they said, I'm done with this. But it is cool. My dad's still actually playing volleyball. We're just in different divisions now. But up until about 2 or 3 years ago, we were on the same team together. So it's one of those things I tell people, I'm like, you know, we're not always, you know, the best team, but I still get to play sports with my dad, and he's in his upper 60s now, and I'm in my upper 30s. Not a whole lot of people get to say that.
No, yeah. No, absolutely not.
Okay, so the color scheme. How'd the color scheme come up?
Because
you guys are, what were you, black and lime green?
Yeah, but
at least the last one I remember was. I don't know if there's one before that.
No, that's about where it ended for both of us with racing together. It was about a black and green, excuse me, and flames. He liked the flame, kind of the flame job,
sure,
and all that. So that's
his era.
Yeah, he started that, and it's kind of kept its every year.
Sure,
and I still use it today.
Okay, so now it's just you by yourself now.
Yep,
is Dad in your pit crew or what?
Yeah,
it better be.
Let's see.
Better be.
No, he's actually, I wouldn't say he's just a pit crew. He's the car owner. He's a pit crew. And, you know, he likes to, I'll just say the pit bitch.
He's the pit bitch. Great. What does the pit bitch mean? Let's see this one. Well, I want Mike to hear this. What his title is.
Well, actually, he might have actually stepped down from the biggest role of it, is to hear me complain. Now my girlfriend has to hear about that.
Hannah. Oh, okay. Sounding board.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
she has to deal with that now. But before I was dating her, you kind of got to come in. You got to listen to me complain about things and still help me with the car.
Man, I can't even imagine. I mean, I can imagine you complaining, but you've always had a smile on your face since I've known you like 9 years ago or 10 years ago. So I can't imagine you being really, really mad about something. But then again, I've never seen you at the racetrack in the pits, so I don't know. I've seen you race, but I've never seen you in the pits pissed, so yeah, I don't know.
Some people say I'm a different person when it comes, especially like...
Passionate, man.
I my mom especially, she's one year for Christmas, she got me a little book full of pictures, and it was just pictures of me in the car and everything, and one was me that someone, I don't know how they got the picture, but it was, I was coming off my best year of hobby stocks. It was a week before we went to our biggest show probably I've ever been, and it was down in, so it was Missouri. Well, the track was Lucas Oil Speedway, Wheatland, Missouri.
Well, that's
was.
Good. Lucas Oil. Oh, I'm thinking Lucas Oil Stadium over in Indianapolis. Okay, I'm like, holy cow, that's pretty sweet.
And we went down there to race, and I the week before that, we were at another big race, and it was my first time not really wrecking the car, but damaging the car.
Sure.
I basically just busted the front bumper. And somehow someone got the picture of me. I was really pissed off and not very happy. And yeah, they say that it, once something goes bad or at the racetrack or in racing in general, working on the car in the shed, and I'm just different.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Whatever.
It's a passion thing. It's a passion thing, people. Yeah. It's passion. People get mad when they're passionate, but you know, that's just the way it goes when you're passionate about something.
I mean, it's, yeah, I like to say I'm passionate because I love it.
Well, I mean, okay, so I mean, if something happens to your car though, it's not like, oh darn, I got a bruise. No, like, you're talking money here. We're not just talking, oh, I got a bump or a bruise here. We're talking money, real money. So a question I have for you then is, if how much does it take each time you want to race? What does it all entail? Do you have like a money figure or something that it's like, okay, this is how much it's going to cost me to race this weekend if I'm going to go do it, and here's what needs to be prepped and ready for it?
Well, it kind of depends. Well, it not depends anymore, but from class to class that I've been in, because we've been talking about hobby stocks. Right now I'm actually it's called a stock car.
Okay.
It's basically, you know, and these are all on metric frames, Monte Carlo kind of frames.
What's a metric frame? You mean talking about like centimeters, millimeters, or what's a metric frame mean?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Why? Oh, did I stump this guy?
I just kind of know. Well, it's kind of,
because when I'm thinking metrics, I'm thinking of like centimeter, millimeter, like that's the tools you got to use.
I would just think the measurements kind of like for the lower A arms from the front suspension and stuff. But, no, you know what? I've never actually thought of that. I just kind of known it as a metric frame.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure it's kind of just the mounting points of a lot of the suspension parts.
Sure.
So like, because all of our cars have been, you know, actual car frames that have been in real cars that went through factory, that have been driven on the road, kind of the 78 to 88, maybe, give or take
absolutely.
Area.
Absolutely, yeah.
But they've all been built on that. And but back to kind of the preparation, because now I'm in a stock car, and my stock car preparation from a week-to-week basis is different from the hobby stock, because I don't really remember what I did for hobby stock, but I just know it's a lot more than a stock car. Since my dad stopped racing, and we've both been kind of just focusing on the one car, especially now because that's our second year in this class, going on third year, we've learned a lot about making it work. One of my biggest thing is the tire bill, getting your tires prepped and ready for every week. And that's one thing people say I'm crazy about, is my tire work. But on top of that, you know, you got to think about filling up the race car with gas. You got your truck for gas, generator gas. You got pit entrance fees. And that's just to get you there. And you still got to get out on the track. And sometimes you got bad luck and you go to start the car and you don't start.
Oh, damn.
And that's happened to plenty of people, and it'll always happen. You know, you got that bad luck that always kind of finds you.
Oh, man, that would suck. You do all the prep work, you pay the pit fee, and you go in and it doesn't start.
Well, because I know when we were talking to do the... this podcast, your podcast, a couple months ago when we first talked about at the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, I was looking at exercise back in August.
Yeah, and you messaged me. It's like, hey, can we do this the next week? And I was actually that week, I was racing down in Iowa for a week at Now, this is my next biggest show I've ever been in, and it was $100,000 to win kind of deal. We ended up moving pit spots because we weren't quite happy with where we were parked. So we asked the promoter who was putting it on if we can move, and he's like, no problem. Moved over, and we were getting ready for qualifying, and the guy next to us, you got to think, he drove from Oklahoma City to get there, and he went through, you know, the amount of money it took to get there. It was $500 just to put your name on the list to get into the race. You got your parking fees, you know, everything. He goes to start his car, go for qualifying, which is that's your baseline. That's where you got to set the momentum for the entire week. Doesn't start.
Oh, no.
And long story short, we somehow got him out on the track. You know, we took some pleading to the official saying, give him one lap, you know. And of course.
So you're trying to help this guy out?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's nice of you. Because well, you're in it for the 100 grand too, unless he's in a different class.
Nope, it's all the same class. There was 300 entered into the race. I think at the end of the week or the start of the week, there was only like low 200s that actually showed up.
Okay.
But no, it worked out very well for us because he ended up being a car builder in Oklahoma City. And at the end of the week, we got to know each other very well. When he left and we left, I got back home. He got back to Oklahoma. I got a message from him one day saying, and this is the first time actually saying this, which I guess this is about time that I do it.
About time you do it right here on the podcast.
I want you to drive one of our cars. And we worked out a deal, and it was probably one of the best things that ever happened to us in racing. It's going to set a really good future for us.
So what is that all? What you just said? I don't know what you're saying.
Oh sure, okay.
You tell me in detail. What does that mean? You're gonna race his car?
He is building his car to race, of course. Okay. And we worked out a deal for it. That he doesn't have any cars north from Oklahoma City.
Okay.
So he says, I want you. I liked, you know, you guys all week. You remind me of how I was when I was racing with my dad and all that. And I want you to drive our cars because I want to get my cars north.
Sure.
And
so he's a car builder.
He is a car builder.
Okay.
And the name of the builder is Outcast Chassis.
Outcast Chassis.
Yes.
And they're out of Oklahoma City, you said?
Yep.
All right.
His name's Cleo Adams. He was the coolest guy, one of the coolest guys to work with there and in preparation for him building this car because he's in the process of it right now. And pretty sure he's getting close to it being done. I told him, don't send me any pictures because I want to see the final product, and he likes the idea too. But, boy, I don't know how we got to this. But
I do. You were racing because you couldn't come on the podcast. You were racing for 100 grand in
Yes,
Iowa.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't worry, I got you.
All right, perfect. At least someone's keeping track.
That's what I do. Okay, so he's building you a car for this coming race season?
Yeah.
And you're going to race for him, or will it be your car?
It'll be our car. he kind of offered us to join almost a team.
Okay.
And we feel very, I would say, special.
Yeah.
For him to offer us this, but it will be our car. He will give us as much help as we need to set up wise, because that's the biggest thing about these cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I could go on for other classes because other classes have way more setup adjustments to do than our class. But that was my biggest trouble this year was finding a setup that worked for me.
Sure.
And a little side note, and I know people always tell me that I do it wrong, but you're supposed to have a setup, tweak it, small adjustments, so you know if it worked, it worked. If that adjustment didn't work, you know where to go to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I sit there and I think, because I'll get home from work 2:30 or 3 o'clock, and I'll be out in the shed till 8, sometimes those late nights, 9 o'clock, and I'm just thinking, well, this might work, that might work. And then it's like, okay, well, now it's nothing like it was. It may or may not work, and we'll find out. But that's one of his things is he said he's going to make sure he's going to help us and he's going to support us. He's going to be there for when we need him to be there. Especially it's going to be his car. So he knows what's going on with it.
Sure.
And we've had, you know, we've gone through some things with other people that, you know, we'll say we're supposed to, you know, you buy your, our stuff, you put it on your car, we'll help you.
Right, yep.
That didn't work. But we've never done the, hey, this is my car, I'm gonna help you. And that just means the world to us, that, and he reached out to us to do this.
So good karma happened because he helped someone.
I like to think so. I like to think so.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it sounds like you love the whole situation. So it'll be fun. Now, how'd you do on the race that week?
Let's see. Well, that qualifying night.
Yeah. Because $100,000 at stake, right?
Yep.
How do we do?
Okay, we'll start like this. End of the week, I was out of like the 220 cars that were there, I was probably like 100th. Okay.
Okay. So you're in the top tier then.
Now, I'm gonna give myself a little bit of an excuse here because
excuses. It was
so qualifying. Like I said, that is your baseline. That starts it all.
Mm-hmm.
We go out there, we qualify. I qualify, I think, very well. I felt confident with it. I come in because they stage us in the infield with our group, because every qualifying whole session has individual groups, and you qualify with your group because they send two cars out at a time or three. And our group pulls in, and they come up to me, and they go, where's your transponder? And your transponder is what records your time, because there's a wire running under by the flag stand that will connect to your transponder that will record your time to the officials of officiating the race. And they go, where's your transponder? And I'm like, it's right there. They go, well, we didn't read any of your times. Okay, well, now what? Well, sorry. Well, no. You know, when I said I was very passionate, we'll just say passionate, I was not happy.
I bet not, dude. You went all the way down there and got prepped and ready.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, I was probably, we've been probably thinking about this since we signed up in the, I'm pretty sure it was like Christmas prior to that race.
Yeah, so basically a year ago from right now.
Yeah.
Close to.
Pretty close to it. And so at the end of qualifying, we looked at the standings, and I was actually last. Out of all 20-some cars, I was last.
No, because of the fault?
Yep.
Oh, man, that sucks.
So I was like, well, you know what? This is the perfect time to say, well, there's nowhere else but up from here.
You know, we're at rock bottom. Right.
Yeah. We're at rock bottom. And we just, you know, put our heads down and we got to work. I got the car ready, and we woke up the next day, because you either raced after qualifying, you raced either Thursday or Friday, either or, depending on how you qualify. And then, but everyone will go race on Saturday. Well, we raced on Thursday. I did not know that because I read the thing wrong. And I woke up. And I'm like, holy crap, we do race today. I got to go. We got to go work on some stuff. And so we're scrambling to get everything done. Go out. We start last in a heat race, which the heat race kind of determines where you start for, kind of determines the lineups for everybody for us tonight. And start 12th. I'm pretty sure we finished 7th. Okay, now, in these bigger shows, everything is determined by what's called passing points. So depending on how you finish and how many cars you passed getting there, or how many cars passed you, you get a certain amount of points. I was able to get enough to skip what are called, you know, or called B mains. In this sense, there's a B, C, D, E, F. Oh. And to get into the let's say C main, or say you start in the C main, you gotta get to a certain finishing spot to the B, to get through the B to get to the A, which is the big show. Yeah. Yes, get to a certain amount. I started in a transfer spot, so right off the bat I just knew I had to hold my spot, and we were running very well. I was running really well at the time. I had a cushion, I had plenty of cars behind me, I was in a transfer spot, we were good to go. And then coming out of turn two, which is coming down the backstretch, and some cars decided to get all hectic up front, and I hit them.
When
flying through the air, landed on my wheel, on all four wheels, and I bent the rear end, and that's kind of it for the week. It all struck, everything went out the window.
Oh, man.
We go back to the trailer and wake up the next day, decide an awesome guy that reached out to us asking if we need anything, so I'd shout out if he ever watches this, because I know I'm going to make sure he gets this, is Blake Adams. He also builds cars, Adams Chassis. He reached out to us. It's like, hey, do you guys need anything? And he's like, yeah, you got a rear end. And that's a pretty, it's a Ford 9-inch floater rear end. And he's like, yeah, you got that? And he's like, yeah, yeah, here, let's work out a deal. And we got in the car, went out and raced last night, and got, 100th, let's say.
Okay, well, that area. I mean, that's pretty cool that everyone in the community kind of helps each other out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's one of those things, it's like everyone's kind of to themselves when it comes to setup and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's racing, especially dirt track, is one of those sports when you could be, you'll be going against, you know, your buddy, okay? They will help you no matter what. You know, you got this huge group of people that will be willing to help you to get everything ready for it, and they'll still race you, like, you know, hard on the track, and it's all in respect of each other. And it's the great thing about racing that, you know, you can't find very, very much other places. The respect for others and kind of the family setting that you gain, especially, you know, for as long as we've done it, which isn't as long as a lot of people, but is the group of people that you got to think that I would not know you if it wasn't for racing.
Sure.
And it was actually, to bring it back to, I wouldn't even know my girlfriend without racing, because we raced together when we were in those little slingshot things.
Really?
Yep, that's where we met. And years later, here we are.
So cute.
Yeah.
Did she beat you, or did you beat her back in the day?
She probably has a better finish than I do. But, yeah, I'd say so. She beat me. Besides once. There was her chain, because it was all, you know, those little cars had a chain that drove the back tires. And it came off one time, and she was probably going to beat me that race. Hopefully now I hope she doesn't hear that one, because she's not gonna let me hear the end of that. But she got the short end of the stick that came off, and I ended up beating her in the track points that year because of that. And she definitely beat me more than I was in front of her.
Does she still race?
Since has gotten back into it, because her dad raced the Tri-Oval.
Who is this person now?
Hannah Lutz.
Hannah Lutz, okay.
Her dad is Bradley Lutz. He owns the Repair Shed, who's also one of my sponsors. She since has gotten back into it. She races a hobby sock now.
Okay, so she's still racing.
Yep.
Do you race against – no, you don't race against each other, because
different classes.
Yeah, you're in different classes. Okay.
And there's not much difference in the cars, just setup-wise and motor size. My motor's a 360 Chevy small block. Hers is a 355.
Sure.
So there's not that much big of a difference other than suspension setups and stuff like that.
Okay. So she understands the frustrations.
Yes. Yes, she does.
and you can help each other out, basically.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, yeah. It's pretty cool that we were able to do that together.
That sounds great. So, she won't not understand you. You won't not understand her. You guys will be like, oh, I get why you're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so speaking of which, you said you brought me a gift.
Mm-hmm.
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 What'd you bring me?
Well, I got you one of these awesome Jake James T-shirts.
What?
Want to take out the bag? I'm gonna
rip it out. Yeah, let's see this bad boy.
If you don't like it, well, I don't care.
Well, I like black and lime gray. Yeah, exactly. I don't give a shit.
Oh,
the Jake James, number 16. Oh, and you got... Now, this is the other things I have questions about. Give me that thing.
Yeah, you take that.
First of all, black and lime green is one of my favorite color schemes. So, for those who are watching, we got the Jake James T-shirt here now. He's number 16, so if you go on over... Check it out. Are these for sale over there at all?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want, contact me on Facebook, Jake James Racing.
Yeah.
Or just Jake James, my other Facebook account, my personal account, I guess. Shoot me a message on either of those and get you a shirt.
Well, now I couldn't leave you hanging. I got you something, too.
Oh, boy.
Well, not a whole lot of people have these, but every guest is getting one. Slowly but surely, we got the old Bruising Cruise T-shirt for you, bud.
Oh boy! Now, can I? Do I get you to sign this now?
Well, I'm wearing yours, so well, I mean, I can sign that for you if you want, but I don't have my marker on right now, so I want you to wear that out.
Oh,
with
I'm
proud.
Going. Don't worry, I will wear this.
Maybe I should become a sponsor
if you want. Let's do it.
Well, I'm putting your shirt on right now, so everyone.
I'll put you out here. Yeah,
let's do it. Put the mics away. It's fine. If you get naked, it's fine. Sex sells, they say.
Yeah, sometimes it is what it is.
All right. So now I have my official Jake James T-shirt. Now, hold on. I want to shout out some of these sponsors in the back real quick because I recognize a lot of these.
I know.
You got Outlaw Designs. Was that the guy you're talking about?
Outlaw Designs does the wraps.
Okay.
And the shirt designer isn't on the card, but he is dynamic. Oh, boy, I can't think of the name. My goodness.
Well, you know what? I'm going to show some of the other sponsors that are on here, actually, mm-hmm. because I recognize them. Black Horse, I had Andre Klinecki on here.
Yep.
So I know you know him. Rolling Stone Auto. Chrysler Winona. Yep, I know them. The Pitses. The Repair Shed, is that?
That's Girlfriend's Dad, Bradley.
Girlfriend's Dad, okay. Windy Ridge Auto Repair and Fabrication. Is that Jackson?
Jackson Photography.
Jackson Photography. I wanted to make sure I was reading that right. And SC Salon. CC was just on here two weeks ago. CC, shout out to you again. And look at that on the bottom. In God We Trust. Love it. Merca.
I was at work today. I was over at Pulis Chain. We were looking at a machine. And one of the guys there goes, you know, we're Americans, not Americans.
Exactly. Dude. Look at this. I am now part of the 16 crew. What number was your dad?
88.
He was 88. That's right. So now it's just a 16 crew. Just a 16 crew.
Yep.
Maybe Bruising Cruise has got to come on. Who knows?
We can work something out.
Now, I got questions about this because there's more to racing than just your setup, putting the pedal to the metal. You got to get sponsors too, mm-hmm. right? Who goes out and gets that? You?
Yep. I go searching around, and I got to give them my best sales pitch on why they should do it.
Yes, this is great. Okay, Bruising Cruise, they want to possibly be on this. What's the pitch? What do you go and tell people?
Well, I usually like to start to give them the biggest opportunity. So let's say, all right, how would you like to sponsor a race car? So I started.
I might.
All right. Well, basically what you'll get out of it is promotion on social media, promotion on the car. I will try to do live videos and more than I do now. And you can, if you want, you can come to the track. We'll gladly have you, and you can see what it's all about. Of course, down in the pit area, so you can see your car run and how it works. And we'd be happy to have you if we can work something out.
So it gives me a pit pass?
Yes, it does.
No shit. Okay, how much are we talking sponsorship? Like, I know there's big sponsors, there's smaller sponsors. Like, mm-hmm. what's the range? Is there a huge range on this?
There can be. For me, you know, I like to work with, you know, the sponsor, what they can afford, what they want, what they can give out. And I try to give them the best they can on the car. I don't want to make someone small. On the car, I want to make sure everyone can see the names. I want to make sure that it's not like, you know, you got a name that's 2 inches big.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Nobody would see that.
No. So I want to make, I try to make it fair kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, if the more you pay, you might get on better spots of the car that, of course, don't get wrecked a lot. That's a big one. You know.
That's good.
Sometimes some people have so many, they do different sponsors on different sides of the car. I try to do it even, just so, because I don't want to have to say, you know, you didn't pay as much as this person, you're going on the right side of the car, because the right side's usually the side that's all smashed up,
mm-hmm.
and that's usually how it always is. So I try to make it, you know, even on each side, and I just try to make it fair.
Okay, so is it a hassle to do? Is it I'm not saying it's a hassle because obviously you love what you're doing. Is it tough to get sponsors? Do you find that the toughest part, or is there other things that are tougher? Because I feel like you're like, I'm a racer. I'm not a promotional guy. I don't want to go around and do all this. Mm-hmm. It might be kind of tough for me because this is what I do. But you also have to be a salesperson at some point too, mm-hmm. because they kind of funded the money to keep racing.
Yeah. I really don't like going out looking for them, but I'm happy when I do. Mm-hmm. Because, well, right now, half the people that are on the car are like CC from, you know,
yeah,
Salon C.
They've been on the podcast.
Yeah, Andre. That there was Riverland Trucking also on there. Those three, Jackson Photography. Who else? The Repair Shed. Outlaw Design and Graphics. Chrysler. Well, Chrysler just, they don't have a really big grab in a race besides the cars he sponsored. But all the people... have something to do with the track.
Sure.
They Andre used to sponsor the B-Mod class, the whole class. He likes watching racing. CeCe loves racing. Riverland Trucking, they own a couple cars that race over there. Jackson Photography was actually been named the main photographer for MTS this year.
Oh, really? They're the ones doing the photography there?
Yep.
Cool.
They said that they've been announced or named as their top photographer, which I'm very happy for them because they're awesome to work with. And they're always either, we'll put it this way. In the pit area, I'm so happy how we got set up because we got Jeremy Werner Racing, Hobby Stock, me. Right next to us is Carter Johnsgaard Racing. We all work with each other. And right next to Carter is Hannah, my girlfriend, yeah, where they park. And next to them is Harley Dice Racing, B-Mod. And all of them, we all work with each other. We're all friends. And Jack's Photography is on just about all those cars. And so they're always down there. I'm like, hey, I need a picture of the car at this angle doing this. Got it. We'll go do it.
Sweet.
They get that picture. They're awesome to work with. And there's not much I can say besides they're awesome.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Shout those people out for sure. Because, I mean, a couple of those people have been on the podcast so far, CC and Andre. But mm-hmm. Obviously, the other ones I have not. Now, how do you go out and find these people? Is it word of mouth? Like, hey, they might sponsor. Maybe go try them. Mm-hmm. Or is it just going to go throw as many things at the wall as I can? As they say, throw as much shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it'd be cool. Like, and I knew I was really reaching for this one because I knew it wasn't going to happen. I stopped in at Peterbilt one time, and I was like, you guys want to sponsor a race car? Well, we already sponsor the NASCAR. I'm like, holy crap, I'm not in the right spot. I'm like, yeah, I understand.
You went there?
I went there.
The one that's in Spring Valley, or Stuartville? Or the one when it was up here?
Goodview.
That one out there. The sales place, I believe mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah, I went there. What's the one right next to it? The other trucking place.
So is it Kenworth?
Yep, Kenworth. Yeah. I stopped in there. I couldn't talk to anybody because no one was there. Where else did I stop? I tried Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Bottling.
I heard that their just Coca-Cola in general is tough. Their copyrights are just crazy to get around, and you clearly don't have, I didn't see it on here, no. So I'm assuming you don't have them.
Nope.
But I heard that they're like a big stickler. It's probably big bucks to have Coca-Cola on there. But yeah, I mean, did they pay them or they're gonna try to pay you?
There's some that make you pay them.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, did they pay them or?
No, and they explained it really well. It's kind of like each Coca-Cola kind of brewing area has their own territory.
Sure. Okay.
So it's like, why, you know, it doesn't help us. And plus, I didn't know why I didn't think of this, but they sponsored the scoreboard at MTS.
Oh,
so
sure.
So like they said, we don't want to make you like think we don't want to be on your car, but we're kind of already advertised over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, no problem.
So what's it take to get on the car then? What's the minimum?
Minimum. I don't like to say there's a minimum. All right.
You just tell you what I want to spend, and then you're like, hey, this is how big your logo will be. Or
kind of. I would like to say I want to see what you're willing to spend.
Yeah.
I like to start around 1,000.
Okay.
To be honest. Put a number out there. That is not set in stone. There are things that certain spots in the car will get you, of course, bigger advertisement, sure, kind of stuff like that. But you also pick up some other things, like, let's say there's a spot in the car that's worth $1,000. I'll also give you an option saying, okay, instead of spending the $1,000, will you pick up my tire bill or half of it?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Or my gas bill for just the car, not the truck, because That's not anything to do with you.
Right. Yep.
Just the race gas, and stuff like that. And especially this year, we're kind of seeing how the schedules align. We're gearing up for kind of a bigger season for us. We're planning on racing 2 racetracks at MTS and Deer Creek and Spring Valley. But we're also potentially racing a touring series between, I think it was South Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Missouri, and Oklahoma.
Wow, you're going to be traveling.
They're only scheduling 22 for this season. They're only going to take your 14 best, so we're going to try hopefully do them all around here. I wish they were doing it in Minnesota. They're not doing it in Minnesota. That'd be okay. Easy for me, but
yeah.
No, we're gearing up for that. So we have our sponsors. I would love to take anyone that wants to be in the car. So if anyone's listening to this and they want to be in the car, reach out to me at Jake James Racing.
There are people listening to this. There are people.
You're right.
However, some are already your sponsors.
Yeah.
But yes, no, definitely reach out. And at the end, I'm going to have you shout out where to talk or where to get a hold of you, basically. And okay, then I'll put it in the show notes, too, for everyone as well.
All right, perfect.
I got to refuel. You know what that's all about is refueling.
Yeah, I suppose I got to. Yeah, this is going to get going on that.
Yeah. You set it down and you forgot all about it. So, okay, now we're getting we're starting to wind down here at the end. But racing, I want to get into some of your all-time greats here. because I assume that, I mean, you've been racing since you're 11. You've been racing well over a decade, obviously. Mm-hmm. Who are your – do you have favorite racers? Do you have a favorite local racer that you're like, that guy was cool? Because in our background, some people mm-hmm. can see we have the old Carl Fenske car here. And a lot of people that listen to this know who he is locally, but nationally, if you're listening from a different country, a different state, you're not going to know who Carl Fenske is. But he was a big-time racer around this area. And we have his old car from way back when. I want to say it's probably in the 70s, I believe, because it's like a 50-something Bel Air from what I recall. Anyways, is there a favorite local, and then is there a favorite all-time? Doesn't matter if it's dirt track, doesn't matter if it's NASCAR, you choose it, and then you go off whatever you want.
I'll start with all-time. So recently, I won't start there, but it was Scott Blomquist, sadly recently passed away in a plane accident.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was pretty tragic for the racing community.
I believe I read that or saw it on the news like maybe a year ago or so.
It was actually August.
Okay.
Okay. But no. And the thing that I didn't start really liking him until, well, not liking him, but following him. Until maybe a couple months before that. And so I was like, I only just started to watch him live. Like, say if there's a video on Facebook, I'd watch it. If it was racing somewhere, I'd watch it on TV. It sucks that, you know, I wasn't able to get that full experience of him. All I hear is how great of a guy he was. And, yeah, you know, people walking up to him in the pits and everything. But locally,
Well, I want to go back to this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Is he national then? Because I don't – okay, so you're talking to a guy that has nothing knowledge-wise of racing. Mm-hmm. Was he someone that was nationally known, locally known, regionally? Where are we at with that guy?
In the world of dirt late models, which is another class, okay, which is kind of – if you're racing dirt, super late models, last series, but super late models, that is kind of the NASCAR. That is your professional dirt track racing.
Okay.
You think of any national or United States, say NASCAR, for instance, mm-hmm. it's that, but on dirt.
Okay. Sounds good. So mm-hmm. That's like your big one that you looked up to. Now we're going to locals.
Local. Oh, man. No one's really ever asked me that.
See, I'm trying to work on my questions. They're getting better as I get going. Make you think.
I'd say someone who I really like watching every week. Oh, man. That's a tough one.
Yeah. You know what? As you think about that, okay, when I think of racing, in my mind, because of how old I am, I'm 37 and you're slightly younger than that. when I think of those times, I'm thinking back in the day of the 90s. I'm thinking Jeff Gordon. I'm thinking Rusty Wallace. I'm thinking Dale Earnhardt. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was kind of a little bit past when I was younger, but I know he made a really obviously good name for himself. The one thing I'm really intrigued with nowadays, as you're thinking, is Michael Jordan is into this aspect now.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Was he with Bubba Wallace?
Bubba Wallace, yep.
And, I mean, Jordan, you don't think of him as racing, but people don't understand that he is from North Carolina, and North Carolina has a huge heritage of racing.
Mm-hmm.
Do they not? I mean, I think they do, is from what I understand, is a lot of racing happens in North Carolina for whatever reason. And you probably know the reason. I don't. But anyways, Michael Jordan, basketball player, for those who are unaware of who Michael Jordan is, he now sponsors and has a race team, does he not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and were they just about to, were they possibly winning something? I don't even know. I mean, I just saw him in the news in the last week. So I don't know if they were winning something or a cup series because I don't understand how it all works. But I feel like that's really just really kind of crazy that Michael Jordan from basketball – seems a little different than NASCAR.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, do you know much about it at all? Follow it all?
Besides the news, I never really got super big into NASCAR. But, no, it's different to think about Michael Jordan owning a NASCAR team.
It is.
And, yeah, this kind of seeing the news stories or the finishes and everything about that Bubba Wallace and racing and everything, it's definitely different. It's different.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and so then when you go off of that, have you figured out your local yet?
I think so.
Well, okay. Well, let's hear it then.
Okay. And I've always watched him race for a long time, and there's a lot of people know him in the area. Okay, well, his name is Lance Holfer.
Okay.
Okay. And I've only kind of recently actually got to know Lance. Not really know him, but maybe talk to him more than I used to. Because where I work now, someone else that races with him was Derek Nelson. But Lance was I'm pretty sure he is probably like one of the best late model drivers in the area locally, which is the USRA Limited Late Models. He has got like the super open late models like what Scott Blomquist would run, and he's racing that. But I always liked watching him win because he was one of those guys. No matter what, where he started, winter of the night, he'd win the race.
Sure.
A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people don't. And I mean, I got someone. His name's Braden Jerry in my class, stock cars. I mean, he is just a force to be reckoned with because no matter where he is, no matter what happens. It's like you think, oh, I'm doing great. No one's passing me. Here he comes like you're chained to a tree or something, and he's just taking off, and next thing you know, you can't see him no more.
It's the shake and bake?
It's shake and bake.
Shake and bake, baby.
But, I think, Lance Holfer is definitely someone that is to be looked up to because he's okay. Just he was so dominant in racing. He's of course not racing very locally anymore. Besides, if there's a series that is scheduled locally,
sure,
and stuff like that. But I
that's cool. Now you figured it out. So that's awesome to hear about. A couple more questions just before we end. Have you seen the show on Netflix a few years back called The Crew with Kevin James? Did you ever watch that?
I've seen snippets of it, and honestly, I scroll by it when I'm going. When I like, was it say Netflix? I think it was.
Yeah, Netflix.
Yeah, I see it. And I'm always thinking, like, maybe I should watch that.
I know you're not big into NASCAR, nor am I, because I'm not a racing person, and you are a racing person. But it's hilarious. Check it out. All right. They only had one season. Never went further than that. But it came on like the COVID era,
mm-hmm.
And then I was always like, oh, when's season two coming out? Because I love Kevin James,
mm-hmm.
And it was all based on NASCAR. But it was hilarious. It's not all fully based on NASCAR. He's just a pit crew manager guy of this crew. And I just thought it was hilarious. So lastly, where are we racing next year? What's on the schedule for you?
MTS.
Mississippi Thunder?
Yep, over in Fountain City.
I'll be in Fountain City, Wisconsin, okay?
Yep, I'll be there. They kind of cut back on their schedule. But they, of course, with that, they increased the pay. So that's awesome. But I'll be there.
Okay.
So check, you know, check out Mississippi Thunder Speedway Facebook page. That schedule is posted.
Okay.
Deer Creek Speedway in Spring Valley, Minnesota. They're saying that they're going to come out with their schedule very, very soon here. I'll be there every Saturday because I go Friday and Saturday every week.
All right.
The touring series, which I'm going to try to hit as much as I can, that schedule doesn't come out until January, but I'll be doing that. And that's kind of only the for sure things. There are tracks in Iowa like Mason City, Motor Speedway. There's West Union Speed. Well, actually, I'll say people know it as Fayette County Speedway.
Okay.
And Decorah, or people might probably know it as Winnisfeet Speedway or Upper Iowa Speedway.
Sure. Okay. Yep. I think I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of on the docket for the year. Was kind of see how other things flow and work throughout the year and what's scheduled, what's announced. There might be another big stock car show that we're entered, that we might enter to go race somewhere. We might go back to Lucas Oil Speedway in Missouri for the, I think that's been 5 years, 6 years since we've been there. We've always said we're going to go back every year, but we never do. We might try that again, but that's kind of our plans.
Okay. Now, if people want to find you personally or your race team, where can they find you at?
Jake James Racing on Facebook.
Jake James Racing on Facebook.
Yep.
That's it. Do you okay, perfect. So I'm going to tag that in the show notes. So if you guys want to look up where Jake James is going to be at this year, it'll be in the show notes on YouTube and then also on the podcast show notes as well. So lastly, is there anything else you want to add? Any shout outs to anybody? Anything that we missed?
Well, we went through over all the sponsors, but I want to say it one more time.
Yeah, say it one more time.
I want to make sure I thank my sponsors because they're awesome.
Couldn't be done without them.
No. Nope.
Some of it, yeah.
No. There's Riverland Trucking, Black Horse Bar and Grill, Chrysler Winona, Salon C, Outlaw Design and Graphics, Jackson Photography, The Repair Shed, Rolling Stone Auto, Garage Force. They were a new one from this past year.
That's who did our, well, one of the Garage Forces did the floor in here.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. My dad did that portion. I don't know which one specific. Yeah.
Think that. Yep. No. One of the big ones is Windy Ridge Auto Repair and Fabrication. They're a new business, fairly new. They've been around for a couple years now, but they just recently, maybe a year or two, have been in Goodview, right across from the Quick Trip in Goodview.
Okay.
Awesome. They do, you know, auto body also. So, you know, you have any auto body kind of
needs?
Thank you.
Perfect. You're welcome.
Yeah, go check him out. He's awesome to work with. He does a lot of our race car stuff. He's a dealer for a lot of stuff. But most importantly, I'd like to thank my dad. I know we went through this a little
bit. Shout out, Pops.
Yeah, he got me into it. I would not be able to afford anything close to what I do. Like I said, you know, when even before he had his knee surgeries, when his knee was kind of, it was time for him to get that surgery done. We were racing that the Fayette County or West Union Speedway area, and I had to come in because I got in a little bit of an accident or a wreck, but the car was still moving, and he ran a good ways, and I knew his knee was hurting him, and he ran to come check in the car, and all it was the right front kind of got pushed up, and here he comes, knee pain and all, and just jumps on the front of the car to smash it down, looks everything, all right, you're good, go, and no, yeah, he is, I would not have picked a better dad to do it with.
Sure,
he's awesome, of course, and then my mom, my girlfriend, Hannah, their support, their love, yeah, and everything. All the teams that I named, I'll name them again. Jeremy Werner Racing, Carter Johnsgaard Racing, Scott Johnsgaard, his dad, awesome. He went to Lucas Oil that first year with us. They're always there to help. So is, of course, Jeremy Werner and his crew, his dad. Harley Dice Racing, for most of the first part of the year, I was by myself because my dad was out with his knee surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
Wrecked the car. They were one of the first people to go and help us. And one, I cannot forget these guys because me and him have a pretty funny story together. Brady Williamson Racing. We'll just say that there's times in racing that, you know, you have rivalries. Let's just say that was between me and him. We didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And long story short, I love working with him. He's always there to help. Half the time when I let's just say I won my first race this year, I put that, and technically it was a non-qualifier, but it transferred me to the big show. First people were there to help me get the car ready.
Nice.
And I gotta shout out them because they were awesome to help. Let's see. I know I'm missing everybody because I know I'm missing a lot of people, of course.
That's good. They know this guy. He's a good guy. He wouldn't do it on purpose by any means.
When I got my first victory lane speech, I missed like four sponsors.
Nice. So your first victory lane speech, you missed four sponsors.
I missed quite a few, probably.
That's okay.
Yeah.
There'll be many more to come, right?
Yeah. Let's just say I told the interviewer that I was like, I've been planning this speech for a long time.
Yes.
And as soon as I was talking to him, I couldn't remember a single word.
That's okay. I mean, you got more going through your mind than you probably imagine. You're like, wait, I just won.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Oh, wait, I got to remember all my sponsors at the same time and this speech. I got to have something going. But that's awesome, man. I really appreciate you coming in here. This has been awesome. You and me have known each other for 9, 10 years. I've known you since childhood, and now you're an adult.
And here we are.
This is a lot of fun. But, yeah, you guys got to check out Jake James, obviously. He'll be the number 16, black and lime green. He'll be out there at MTS. Yep. He'll be around Deer Creek, which is just, you know, 45 minutes away from here,
yep,
roughly, and then all over. So I only wish the best for you because I know you've been doing this for, you know, well over a decade. And it's awesome that your dad and your family is fully behind you on this, girlfriend too. So that's awesome. So check out the show notes if you want to see Jake James. I'll put those down there below. It'll be tagged in there. Click on the link. You can find out where he's racing at, or if you just want to see just who the heck he is. But this has been another episode of Bruising Crews. Remember, like, share, follow if you can. I'll be on YouTube if you want to watch our beautiful faces, see my brand new t-shirt, and you can see Jake's new t-shirt. And if you want to listen to this podcast, you can check it out at any major streaming platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, iHeart, you name it, I'm out there. But this has been another episode of Bruising Crews. We had some vodka Red Bulls, and this is a big old cheers to you, Jake,
yep,
and to our audience. Have a great week.